Leprosy was once the most feared disease and the most fatal disease known to man. Today, it has almost disappeared as a destroyer. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about instant healing. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, one of the most feared and loathsome diseases in the ancient world was that of leprosy. Probably cancer is the modern counterpart of this dreadful scourge, or perhaps maybe AIDS, although that kills much quicker than leprosy did. Now, the incidence of leprosy, more accurately called Hansen's disease today, is very insignificant in comparison to other contagious diseases. Yet it has always horrified people because of its biblical association with separation and suffering. In those days when there was no cure for the destroyer, Jesus often used leprosy as an illustration of the defiling effects of sin on the soul. He also delighted in exercising his mighty healing power to deliver the victims of this despised disease. In Mark 1:40-42, we have the graphic story in a few words of one of those miraculous episodes of healing. As you read the account, it's not hard to imagine the terrifying experience it must have been to be pronounced a leper and to realize that there could never be a cure for the disease as far as the victim was concerned. Let's just imagine one day that John comes home to his wife and he says, "Mary, I'm worried." And his wife says, "I've noticed that something has been troubling you lately. What is it, John?" "Well, Mary, look at my earlobes. They're puffy and thick. Look at my cheeks. They're shiny and swollen. And Mary, look at my feet. See how they're swelling around the ankles." "What, John? What? You don't mean it." "Yes, Mary, I'm afraid it's true." "No, John, it can't be. You a leper. It simply can't be." "But, Mary, I'm afraid it is." Well, John goes up to the temple and shows himself to the priest, as the law requires. The priest looks at him and he says, "You come back in 7 days." 7 days pass, and again John shows himself to the priest. And this time, he is officially and ceremoniously pronounced a leper, unclean, doomed to die that awful death of the disease which was used as a symbol of sin. Now, friends, picture John as he makes his way back to the little cottage where his wife is anxiously waiting for him. As the law requires, he holds his hands high in the air and cries out as he walks, "Unclean, unclean." He comes to the gate of their little home. He cries out to his wife, "Mary, Mary, unclean, unclean," and she runs to embrace him, but she must not touch him now. He's a leper. The children rush out to hug their daddy, but they can't touch him now. He's doomed to be an outcast from society. He must leave home and all that is dear. He takes one last look around the house, the home place, as his wife packs a lunch for him and gets ready a little bundle of clothes. What a sad parting it is. As he leaves the city gate, the city officials pronounce a final curse upon him and throw dust into the air. Oh, leprosy is a hideous thing, and so is sin. He goes out into the wilderness among the wild beasts. He dwells in the caves of the rocks and sometimes even among the graves of the dead. Days, weeks, and months pass, maybe even years. His fingers disappear. His feet are mere stumps without toes. His face is hideously disfigured. His hair is long and matted. His clothes are rotting. He hates himself. It's a living death. Leprosy is a terrible thing, and so is sin. He seldom sees another human, but one day he hears a rumor. Can it be true? No, it can't be. Time passes, and again he hears the same rumor. Could there possibly be help for him, a leper? He decides to find out for himself. He has nothing to lose. He begins a journey. It's long and painful. Finally, one day, he comes to a clearing where a large group of people are gathered. He's afraid at first. It's been so long since he's seen large numbers of people. He hides where he can see and hear. He sees the blind receive their sight. He sees the lame made to walk. His heart rejoices. "There's hope for me. I'll go. I'll go." And when he hears the gentle voice of invitation, all fear leaves. He raises his stumps of arms and rushes forward, crying, "Unclean, unclean." The people begin moving out of his way, not because they're courteous, but because they don't want to be touched by the leper. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus, and looking pleadingly into the Savior's face, he cries out, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Mark 1:40-42. It happened in a moment. It was a matter of decision. He jumps for joy. He runs with the vigor of youth. Oh, I'd like to have been there when he was reunited with his wife. Picture him back at the home gate. He cries out, Mary, Mary, come quickly. Mary hears the voice. She listens. No, it can't be. Well, that's the voice of John. She rushes to the door. It is John. Why, John, what's happened to you? Why, you look just like you did the day we were married. Where have you been, John? Mary, I've been to Jesus. Well, friends, that's a story. And in that story, we have a demonstration of the saving power of Jesus Christ. The power that can transform a life in just a moment of time. How long does it take to be saved? No longer than it takes to make a full and complete surrender of all that there is of us to Jesus Christ. One moment we're lost, and the next moment we're saved. Remember the thief on the cross? One moment he was a hopeless sinner, the next moment he was saved. That can be your experience, too. There isn't a young man or woman who needs to go to bed tonight without having the assurance in his heart that he's able to be presented faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The reason that it can happen so fast is that it is by grace through faith that we're saved. If it were by works, I don't know how long it would take. It would take not only one lifetime, it would take countless lifetimes, and then we never could be saved apart from Jesus. There's no other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. For by grace are ye saved through faith. How long does it take? Just as long as it takes to exercise faith and to throw ourselves wholly upon Jesus, depending upon his mercy. Thank God we don't need to earn salvation by abusing our bodies. Over in India, I've seen people torture their bodies by thrusting spears through the living flesh. Why did they do it? They did it to find favor with God. You can go to the Philippines, and there every springtime, at Easter time, you see men who beat their bodies until they become a mass of raw, bleeding flesh. Why do they do it? They do it in the name of Christianity. What a fearful misunderstanding of the God we worship. They think by torturing their bodies they can find forgiveness from God. That's why there's such an urgency about preaching the gospel. There are multitudes who've not yet heard that forgiveness is free. All that we must do to be willing is to be willing to receive it, be willing to accept it. Many a man says, oh, but it sounds too good to be true. It doesn't seem reasonable. But it is true. The Lord Jesus is willing to forgive any man who's willing to confess and forsake sin. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, a Christian is so glad to find those words because when we realize the great love of Jesus for us, we wonder, how can I let him know that I appreciate it all? How can I let him know that I do love him? Jesus says, if you really want to show that you love me, one thing that you can do is to keep my commandments. Now, we don't keep the commandments in order to be saved. We keep the commandments because we're saved. Some people get the cart before the horse. They think that by legalism, by trying to keep all the commandments, if we do it well enough, then maybe we can be saved. But we're saved by grace. However, friends, when we are saved or born again, we need to grow up. If a baby's born into this world and doesn't grow, it will die. There are just two alternatives. Born again. There must be growth, or there will surely be death. And there, it takes only a moment, as I said, to enter into this new life. But as long as we live, we continue to grow more like Jesus. There are many people who've been born again, but they haven't grown in the Christian life. They're dead. In fact, they died because they didn't begin to grow. The pity of it is, some of them are dead and don't know it. There are some people who are spiritually dead and don't realize. A symptom of this condition is to be depending on some past experience. I've met men who say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I was saved 20 years ago. Oh, listen, it's not what we did or didn't do 20 years ago that's going to get us into heaven or keep us out. But it's how we stand with the Lord right now. Before the flood came in Noah's day, undoubtedly there were many who professed to believe in God. But only those who acted on their belief and got into the ark were saved. It was where they were when the flood came that made the difference between being saved or lost. The multitudes weren't flocking into the ark. Just a handful of people recognized the message they heard as the message of God, and they were saved. But just one step across the threshold of the ark, and they were inside and saved. One moment they were on the outside lost, the next moment inside saved. What a demonstration, friends. With many people, it's just one step that needs to be taken. A matter of decision. It can happen in a moment. The very same thing was true in the days of Lot. Jesus used the days of Noah and the days of Lot to illustrate the way it will be just before he returns to this earth. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. And the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Luke 17:28-29. The people of Sodom were so engrossed with the things of this life that they took no time to prepare for eternity. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. God had warned those people. God had sent an angel to Sodom. The angel almost had to drag Lot and his family out of the city. The night before the city was destroyed, the Bible says that Lot went to his sons-in-law. He pleaded with them to take their stand for the truth. He pleaded with them to get out of that wicked city before it was too late, because God had revealed to him that Sodom was going to be destroyed because of its wickedness. But you know, the Bible says that poor old Lot seemed like a man who had lost his mind to his sons-in-law. They thought, "Oh, poor old Dad is old. He's all mixed up. Now he thinks our city is going to be destroyed. Poor old fellow." And early in the morning, Lot and his wife and two daughters left that city. No sooner had they left than fire and brimstone fell and destroyed that wicked place. The ashes of that city today lie buried under the waters of the Dead Sea. If Lot and his family had stayed in that doomed city, they would have been lost. Their salvation was a matter of decision. There was a dangerous tendency to linger in Sodom. And I've had people tell me, the reason I'm not coming to your meetings is that I'm not willing to give up some of the things I'm doing. I know these things are wrong, but I enjoy doing these things, and I'm not ready to give them up. Sometime, perhaps, but not now. I've had parents tell me this on the hearing of their children. Parents who should have been helping their children to get ready for eternal life, lingering in Sodom and in sin. Some people just go by their feelings. If it feels good, do it. If Lot and his wife had gone by their feelings, they never would have left Sodom, their relatives and loved ones behind. But he was saved. God is calling men and women out of sin and confusion today, just as he called Lot out of Sodom. Some people want to linger in the world, just like Mrs. Lot, but there isn't much more time, friends. Some people even try to hide from God when he's trying to save them. Well, you mustn't allow anything to keep you from that needed preparation. The most fatal mistake of an entire lifetime would be to lose out on that urgent work. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.